on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? We're back at it for another edition of the YokeCast podcast. And how about this week? This has got to be one of the more special weeks in South Dakota football history. And look, I know that they have gone to the national championship game before, but this is the biggest step, the furthest South Dakota has made it at the Division I level, and it has been really, really cool. I mean, that win last week over Sacramento State, gigantic, and what we didn't know maybe at the time, maybe what we hoped, but we did not know at the time, that win over Sacramento State, it started a special weekend for USD Athletics. The men's basketball team, the very next day in Macomb, Illinois, at Western Illinois, wins at the buzzer. Boston Hold beat the buzzer, and the Coyotes get the victory at Western Illinois. And then just a couple hours later, Alexi Hempe buries a three to send a game to overtime in Los Angeles, and the Coyote women beat Loyola Marymount in overtime. What a special weekend it was. A lot of fun. And this run for football has obviously been tremendous. And look, I know I do the radio, right? I'm on the radio, and I would love for everybody to listen to us. But how cool is it that South Dakota will be on ABC, on a network television station? They will be shown nationwide. It is awesome. It is great not only for the football program, it is tremendous for the University of South Dakota. And I'm just excited for everybody involved who gets this opportunity to be a part of it. And I'm not just talking about those who are going to perform on game day. This is great for the athletics department. This was set up by leadership who put coaches in place, who believed in coaches when maybe not everyone believed. It's the coaching staff who put everything together and made this team the competitive team that it is today. It's the people behind the scenes, you know, that have marketed the heck out of the University of South Dakota. All of these people deserve credit for where this thing is at. And look, I know you could have easily been selected to be the ESPN Plus and to be a normal football Saturday for us or whatever, but this is pretty cool. You get on the right spot of the bracket, you get the right matchup, you find yourself on ABC, on national TV, and it's great. So, with that said, I would love for you to sync up your TV to our radio broadcast and listen to the Coyotes take on North Dakota State, because it's fixing to be a really, really good football game. And I don't know what way it's going to go, but what I can tell you is that, you know, USD believes it can win. North Dakota State is trying to get a little revenge from September and losing in their building. And I know both these coaching staffs believe they can put together a game plan that can win this football game. Winners on to the semifinals next week, either Friday or Saturday. And we'll just keep an eye out for all of that, see how it all plays out. But this is pretty special, and I hope you enjoy it. I hope you take a moment. If you're able to go to the game, whether you're able to be at the game or you're able to watch it on TV or listen on the radio, whatever it is, I hope you take a moment to just soak in the atmosphere, soak in the opportunity, because we've never been here before. And I know a lot of people have been mocking on social media and saying, well, they act like they've never been here before. Correct. We've never been here before. And we're not going to shy away from the idea that we've never been here before. We're going to be like the kid at the candy store making their first trip, and we're going to enjoy the heck out of this because we've never been here before. And I hope it keeps going. I hope we get one more round. And then when that game gets here, I'm going to hope for one more round after that. It's special. It's a great opportunity. So many people have put in so much work to make this a reality, to bring this competitive team to Vermilion and the University of South Dakota. And the fans deserve it. The administration deserves it. The university deserves it. The community of Vermilion deserves it. This is special. And I have no idea how things are going to play out on Saturday. Football games are very unpredictable. You know, the ball doesn't bounce your way a couple of times. That can be the difference. But I can tell you one thing is South Dakota has a football team that believes it can beat anybody that it goes up against. And they have a group of guys who have committed their rear ends off to doing what was necessary in the offseason to make this opportunity a reality for them and for you and for all of us. And they're a team that is going to go out and give it everything that they have on Saturday, and win or lose, we need to appreciate this opportunity. We need to appreciate where this program is at. A year ago, there was a lot of frustration in the fan base, right? It's no secret. And I don't think we need to run and hide from that idea. I think that that's part of the story, right? That's part of the fabric of how special this year is. Last year, there was a lot of frustration. There was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of, kind of a roadblocks in the old map. And they have turned it around. You go from 3 wins 1 year to the 3 seed in the FCS playoffs and your first ever appearance in the quarterfinals. A lot has happened over the last year. So take a moment to just sit back and think about it, appreciate it. And, you know, the time will come to be frustrated. The time will come to celebrate. You're going to get all of those emotions on Saturday because it's a college football game. But at least take a moment to soak it in and appreciate this opportunity. And hopefully we get another round and another round after that. And then, you know what? Don't let it just end with football. Pack yourself up. Head over to the basketball arena. Support the Coyote men's basketball team Saturday night. They'll take on CSU Bakersfield. And then the women are back home Sunday afternoon against Dickinson State. We've got a lot coming up in the show today. Chris Streveler, of course, a Coyote great, will join us. He'll talk about playoffs and what he's up to today, all of that good stuff coming up here. We'll also go back a trip down memory lane with Dave Triplett. The last time the South Dakota football team won 10 times in a game, he was the head coach of this football program, so we'll take a trip down memory lane with him. And then Sam Niederman joined me. He is the play-by-play voice on the radio for North Dakota State, and he had obviously a thrilling victory last week. We'll talk to him about how far the Bison have come since that game in September where South Dakota defeated them and what has ignited this run for North Dakota State. That's all coming up here in the podcast today. Let's get it started with the old ball coach, Dave Triplett, who coached the Coyotes in the late 70s and throughout a chunk of the 80s, had the Coyotes into the playoffs, losing to North Dakota State in 1985 in the second round, and then losing to the Bison again in the championship game a year later in Florence, Alabama, the site at the time of the Division II National Championship. So had a chance this week to catch up with him and talk about what it takes to make a successful run in the playoffs. Dave, you look back to the mid-80s, that was a good couple of year stretch for South Dakota. Obviously, 10 wins in 85, 11 wins in 86. South Dakota's not won 10 games since that time. They've done that this year. How cool is that to see the Coyotes have that success and kind of bring that whole thing full circle?
Well, John, appreciate the opportunity to talk about those teams in the 80s. But first of all, I want to congratulate Bob Nielsen and his staff and all the administration and the players of the Coyotes this year for having a great year. I mean, they what a turnaround from last year. Bob's certainly proven that he's a winner in all the places he's been and, with the staff and the facilities, with the unbelievable new facilities in the Dome. It certainly paid off for him. So I'm happy for that. And it does take me back to those years. Kind of a similar formula. The Dome was newer and not as nice as it is now, but it was still an advantage. I was fortunate to have some very good assistant coaches and some great players. And yeah, we were very competitive for 2 or 3 years there in the 80s. And they're great memories, and I still stay in touch with those players on a regular basis.
What do you remember about that time period and what made these Coyote teams as successful as they were?
Well, obviously we had some good years of recruiting. We were, pretty regional in our recruiting, but we had some great kids playing for us from the state of South Dakota who were leaders from the team, and Northwest Iowa, Southwest Minnesota. And we got a couple of kids from down south and other places that helped. But a formula of good leadership, good, tough offense. I mean, we ran the ball pretty effectively. You know, there was a couple games we may not have passed the ball more than 10 times, but that was a much different time back there, and we had great defenses. Of course, playing some of those key games in the Dome was really an advantage for us. It's always a great opportunity with the fans there. And I think that was the formula that came together, you know, the staff, John Fritsch and John Mumford and Phil Karpuk and some of the great players we had. It all made it easy, and, you know, they knew how to win, and they knew how to make the plays at the right time to help turn the tide and win the game.
Dave Triplett, our guest, of course, a former coach of the Kiowa football program back in the 80s. Dave, you took over the first year in 1979. You took over for the great Beanie Cooper, and you look back at that time, and your teams the first 3-4 years were right around that 500 mark and all building up to these mid-80s. At what year in that stretch did you think, wow, we might really have something, we've got a chance to really get this thing going?
Well, it was kind of a joke, but a bad joke, that, you know, Beanie won the conference championship in 78, and I came in right away and turned the program around. So it took us a while. I think part of it was adjusting to the staff and, you know, getting a type of a player that would be able to respond to what we were trying to get accomplished. Back then, you know, we played South Dakota State twice a year. And that was hard, having two very emotional games in football. You don't normally have that. So I would say about the fourth year, we really thought we were heading the right direction. We were 6-5. And then from then on, it got better and better. Recruiting got better. We got the kids we needed. We were 7-4, 8-3, and then 9, 10, 11-year games, 11-win-year games. So I would say probably year four, we really started to see the changes.
85 and 86, both of those years, you're into the playoffs, and of course, end up running into North Dakota State. And interestingly enough, South Dakota will play North Dakota State this week. The Coyotes beat North Dakota State in the regular season, not by the margin that you did in 1985, but still a win. And then you met them in the postseason, and those playoff games, man, really close football games in those stretches.
Yes, North Dakota State, as it is now, was a power back then. I think they'd won a couple national championships, and they were always at the top of the conference. And, you know, the first game that year was a big win for us in the Dome. And, as you know, you always have these regrets about what you could have done differently. I really thought we had a better team, but we just made some mistakes and didn't do the things we needed to do to win that first year against them in the Dome, and lost, I think, 16-7. The next year, they were a better team. They were a veteran team, and, you know, we played them hard, and I thought our kids did a great job. But I would imagine them having been to the national championship a couple of times, they were a little more relaxed, and it was a big deal for us, and our kids were very excited, maybe a little too uptight. You know, I don't know, but you know, North Dakota State's always going to show up and play hard. They have great tradition up there. I think since they've gone to the FCS, where they won 8 or 9 national championships, so they certainly got tradition.
Dave, when you look at a comment you just made about North Dakota State had been there, so they were a little bit more relaxed. Obviously, North Dakota State has been to the quarterfinals 14 straight years in the FCS, South Dakota making its first ever appearance. How much does that factor in for a program when your kids are going farther and farther than they ever have before?
Yes, it is a difference. In some ways, you have to approach it like it's any other game and do the things you've done all year that help you win. On the other hand, you know, it is a national championship, and I think we probably spent a little too much time preparing for the national championship atmosphere. And I think in North Dakota State was more relaxed, especially early in the game. And we came back and, you know, made a close game out of it. But to them, it was just another game, and you know, they sure may look that way, and that was a difference. And I would credit Bob Nielsen. He's been there before. He's won a couple national championships. I think he probably has the approach that's going to get his team as ready as they can get to play a big game like this, but not be too uptight.
You mentioned, and I was going to go there next, the idea of trying to make it just a regular football game, because it is. At the end of the day, it's just a football game. The big difference, obviously, is that the stage is elevated because it's the playoffs. And if you lose in this, unlike the regular season, there is no next opportunity. So we talk about that all the time, but how do you try to make it a regular game, even though you can't convince anybody that it's nothing – you know, that it's nothing more than just a regular season game?
Well, I would tell you this. When we went to the national championship, you know, that was a big trip for all of us, for the entire Coyote family and support group. You hear these coaches say this all the time. You want to keep things in the routine, do everything the same way you've been doing it. And we did that up until getting down to Florence, and then things kind of really changed. I'm not trying to make excuses, but it was not like maybe it's going to be this Saturday. Even though it's a big game, the Coyotes are playing at home. They're playing in the Dome. They're playing in a familiar place. And, you know, they've been used to this year winning some close games and some tight games. So that might make a difference for them. And, again, I'm sure Bob has the skill and the experience to put the kids in the right frame of mind for that atmosphere.
As you know, these seasons can be an absolute grind for the coaching staff, for the players, for the fans. It can really grind. What do you have to see out of a football team? A mindset change, an approach change, whatever it is. What do you have to see out of a team this time of year in the playoffs that has to adjust or has to change in order to have playoff success?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because it's a different cycle. There's a lot more at stake, as you said. It comes down to the leaders you have in your team. You know, whether the seniors or juniors, wherever your leaders are, especially in the key positions, quarterback and offensive line, secondary and the defense, kids that can step up and understand what's at stake, at the same time doing what they've done all year and show the way, especially when things go wrong, as they will in a football game. You get behind, there's some penalties, some mistakes, some turnovers. Those leaders have to step forward and find a way to make things go better, and you know, keep the offense and the defense and the kicking game moving forward.
I know we're all excited for the matchup this week, South Dakota and North Dakota State in the FCS quarterfinals. Dave, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate you taking some time to think back to those days of great success of Coyote football in the mid-80s, and kind of some insight as you make your way into the playoffs and continue to go through it. So we really appreciate your time.
John, thanks for your time. And I will be up there. We spent 10 years in Vermillion. We loved it. All three of my sons played for the Coyotes, so and my son-in-law played for the Coyotes, so four of us will be up watching the game and cheering the Coyotes on to a big victory.
He's Dave Triplett, one of the great legendary coaches at the University of South Dakota in the late 70s and in through the 80s. Took the Coyotes to a couple of playoff appearances. They won 11 games in 1986. They won 10 games in 1985. What a special run that was for Dave Triplett and, of course, that coaching staff and those players who are a part of that program. Speaking of guys who were special and legendary, Chris Streveler led the Coyotes to their first ever Division I playoff opportunity. This week, I had a chance to catch up with him to talk about just the playoff mentality, the mindset, and what he's up to today as he continues to pursue an opportunity to keep playing the game he loves. Chris, great to chat with you as always. How are things right now for you, and what do you do this time of year in a warmer weather climate?
Yeah, no, it's always great talking to you, John. I appreciate you having me on here. You know, I'm out in Arizona right now, so I'm doing some training myself, waiting for the phone to ring. I had a workout with the 49ers a couple weeks ago, went really well. I ran 21 miles an hour, threw the ball well, got some really good feedback. So feel good about where I'm at with that in terms of if the phone rings, I'll be ready. In the meantime, I'm training quarterbacks out here as well. My company called Ground Up. We're in the process of putting on our second annual camp this winter called the Ground Up QB Experience. It's going to be a really cool deal where we do field work. We partner with a bunch of local vendors to, you know, help kids with you know, knowledge of nutrition, body work, all that stuff that, you know, you kind of have to put into your body to be a professional, so to speak. And then we take them in the classroom, teach them X's and O's, and do some chalk talks and film work. So it's going to be a really cool deal, and I'm really excited about that. And then lastly, I'm actually working on closing on a house right now. So I bought a house a couple of years ago in Gilbert, in the east part of the valley in Phoenix. And now I'm working on purchasing my second home in Scottsdale, going to rent out my first home and kind of use that as a rental property. So, you know, even though football is not happening for me right now, I'm still staying busy in other areas of my life, and it's been really fun.
I'm curious, with Ground Up and the quarterback training deal that you do, what was the inspiration behind that? I mean, you've obviously always been a very outgoing guy, so it's no surprise that you're wanting to share your experience with other people. But what was that inspiration in starting this type of company?
Yeah, so the initial inspiration was honestly the fact that I don't know if I want to live the coaching lifestyle. Like, the lifestyle of being a college coach is you're traveling a lot. You're, when you're not in season, you're recruiting. And it's a really hard lifestyle. And I've spent so much time already grinding in the professional level that, you know, it's just, I don't know if that's in the cards for me. So that's why I kind of jumped into the quarterback training. But as I've gotten going, I've actually become extremely passionate about it. Like, I didn't realize how much I was going to love it. And I just love seeing kids buy into what we're teaching, develop. And ultimately, it's about helping kids reach their potential. I always tell kids, like, look, not everybody has the same potential. Not everybody can make it to the NFL. If your potential is to be a Division III football player, I'm going to help you reach that potential. If your potential is to make it to the NFL, we have the capability to help you get there as well. So it's been extremely rewarding to see kids improve and have great seasons this fall, and now we're just excited about getting in and attacking this offseason.
So you're coaching and training young quarterbacks, but you also work with a coach yourself as you continue to chase that football dream. How do you mesh the two together, going from the student to the professor?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of just learn to take what you teach and apply it, right? So everything that I've, you know, kind of implemented with my own mechanics, I try to teach that to the kids. And sometimes it's fun for them because I always tell them, look, like, my mechanics aren't perfect by any means. I have a lot of things I need to work on, just like everybody does. But, you know, it's cool to be able to throw with them, and they can kind of, see what an NFL quarterback throws like, what some of my mechanics look like, and just set a good example for them. So, like I said, it's been really, really fun getting to work with kids and see them develop and buy into what we're teaching and ultimately just become better football players and better people.
People always wonder about the process for you, Chris, as you try to look for that next opportunity. As far as playing, there's been a lot of injuries in the NFL this year to quarterbacks. Are you actively seeking, when things happen, opportunities? Is a lot of that done with your agent? How does that process work?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like, me and my agent, I'm probably bugging the heck out of him. But every time someone goes down on Sunday, I text him. I'm like, hey, man, go check in with so-and-so. Go check in with so-and-so. And you know, like, for teams where I have personal connections, such as the Jets, sometimes I'll send them a text message and check in with them. But we're staying active. We're staying busy. You know, I have the utmost confidence in myself and what I can do given the right opportunity. And so I'm staying positive. I'm staying mentally and physically locked in for whatever comes my way. And at the end of the day, John, look, if nothing comes my way, I can lay my head on that pillow and sleep at night knowing that I worked as hard as I can. I did every single thing I could to stay ready for an opportunity and take advantage, and I can live with the result no matter what happens.
Yeah, that's awesome. You've had a great deal of success certainly throughout your course of your career, and some of that success happened at the University of South Dakota, where you were the quarterback when the Coyotes went to the playoffs for the first time at the Division I level. What do you remember or cherish most about that particular season? And as you know, it was a season that started out really well. It did not finish the best as far as the regular season. Edge of your seats on Selection Sunday. You get into the playoffs, and there was a lot of excitement. And, of course, win that first game and knocked out in round number two. But what do you cherish the most about that particular season?
I think it's just the people, man. Like, the bonds that you build with your teammates, the bonds you build with coaches and everyone associated with that program, it's special. And we fought through a lot of adversity that year. I mean, we had a lot of injuries. I myself battled through some injuries. We had some guys get kicked off the team. It was a tough year. And as a team, we had some great leadership, man, a great group of seniors who really helped everyone elevate and work through that adversity. I mean, you lose a few games in a row at the end of the season and kind of squeak into the playoffs, how are you going to respond? And we responded well, going into a tough environment at Nicholls State. I don't know if you remember, but there was not a visitor's locker room. We had to dress in a tent for that game. And for us to, you know, to bounce back after a tough end to a regular season, mentally lock in, win a playoff game on the road, and then in that playoff game against Sam Houston, we were down 42-14 at halftime. We climbed all the way back and got the score with 45-42 in the fourth quarter and almost pulled it off. So just the way that that team battled through adversity, continued to fight, and that bond that I have with, you know, those coaches, the senior leaders, and, you know, especially Coach Nielsen, I can't say enough about him and his leadership and just the man that he is. He's a great person, and ultimately he's the person that, you know, gave me my opportunity at South Dakota to come in and get to play, and it ultimately changed my life.
You know, you go through a season, and obviously you would win every single game if you had that decision. Everybody knows, you know, you don't play this game just to play it. You want to go and win the football game. But the playoffs, even though you're trying to keep it the same, right, it's different because once you lose in the playoffs, there is no next opportunity. How does the mindset change for a player as you get into the playoffs and try to make that run?
Well, first of all, you have to try to make it as normal as possible. Anytime you go into a game, building it up and making it more than it is, especially as a quarterback, it's not a good deal because you got to stay calm. You got to understand your responsibility. You have to stay dialed into game situations. So you want to try to keep yourself as level-headed as possible. But ultimately, in a playoff game, you saw it happen last week against Sac State. Turnovers and field position means so much more. I mean, that was ultimately the difference in the game. Two massive turnovers, USD is able to capitalize with points, and they end up winning the game. So mistakes, penalties, field position, turnovers, they just mean that much more. So it's even more important that you play clean football, right? You have to understand those situations, know when to take shots, know when to be aggressive, and know when to live to fight another down. And so far, USD's done a great job of that, not only last week, but throughout the regular season. And I'm excited to see them go to work again this Saturday.
Is it something where, you know, we obviously build these games up because they're exciting, and that's our job, is to talk about them and make it sound like it's the next great game, right? But as a player, you're going to get hyped as well when you get into that environment. Does it take a couple of plays just to kind of settle things down and get your mind back into, hey, look, it's just another football game?
I think it does. Truthfully, I think it does. No matter what position you are, everyone has a different way of getting into the flow of the game. And although it may be a little bit unique for me as a quarterback, it was always that first hit. I mean, people are probably familiar with my game, not afraid to run up in there a little bit. And I always felt like after I got that first hit under my belt, I was like, okay, this is just a football game. I'm locked in. You get those pregame jitters out, that excitement, and now you're just rolling and you're focused. You're flowed in with the game. So that was always how I got locked in for games. But everybody's a little bit different. I used to have a buddy in high school who he had to throw up right before the opening kickoff every game. So everyone has their different way of doing it. Mine was always just take that first hit and lock in from there.
All right, for clarification, is it take the first hit or the first time you run somebody over? Because we saw it both a lot.
You know what? That's exactly right. I should have said give the first hit. I shouldn't be taking any hits. I'm giving out hits.
No question about it. That's what people remember you the most for, is just running guys over. And that was always, obviously, it could get a crowd fired up. You've been a big part of, obviously, it's in your name, see it like Strev. With Jay Elson of Midco Sports, and you guys have done those throughout most of the year, pretty much the entire season. As you have watched the things maybe a little bit closer, what has been the thing that South Dakota has improved on, you in your opinion, the most that has allowed them to have this type of season and really get to the quarterfinals?
They're just playing great complementary football. Like, their offense is taking care of the football, and they're able to run the ball. And their defense, although they've given up yards at times, they've been outstanding in the red zone. So when you do those things, when you take care of the football, you can run the ball, and defensively you're able to get stops and hold guys to field goals, you're always going to have a chance to win. So, I mean, those are the things that have really allowed them to be successful to this point. But the other thing that I mentioned to you earlier was just the way that their offense and defense have both continued to build throughout the season, and they've been able to use different guys like Galbraith in different ways, splitting him out wide, bringing him in the backfield, and Travis Tice doing some fullback stuff, ways to get those guys implemented in the games. And it's just been really, really cool to see that offense continue to evolve with the way that they use different players. And then also defensively, they did some really, really cool things last game where they weren't doing them in the beginning of the season. A lot of the stuff I saw from them defensively in the beginning of the season was very cookie cutter. They're running their defense and they're running it well. They're not disguising a ton and they're just playing good ball. But now they're able to show some blitz looks and back up out of that, bluffing with some cover zero and dropping out to zone coverage and, you know, bringing some cornerback pressures and bringing some nickel pressure. Really cool to see how, not only with the offensive and defensive coordinators being able to, you know, evolve the offense, but the players getting more comfortable, because that's a testament to them. With however comfortable your players are within a system, that allows your coordinators to mix things up and add more variables in. So obviously those players are getting more comfortable, and you see as a result the coordinators are able to do some really, really cool, unique things and able to get their best players in position to be successful.
We've seen the crowds at South Dakota this year continue to grow in their engagement with the game, and there were 6,200 there last week, but it was an engaged crowd. How much do these football players and athletes in general actually feed off the energy of the crowd?
Oh, dude, 100% you feed off of that. I mean, I'll never forget my senior season. D-Days were playing Youngstown State. We were ranked 6th and they were ranked 3. And I think that was the first time I saw the Dome was sold out. And you feel that, man. You're running out of the tunnel. You feel the energy. And when you win that game, you feel the energy. And I mean, so when the fans are engaged and they're loud and they're passionate, as a player, you 100% feel that. And, you know, for me, like, the things that they've done in the Dome, renovating it and all the improvements they've made my first game back this year, to be able to see that in person, it's a really, really special place to not only play a football game, but watch a football game. So I would continue to encourage all Yoke fans out there to get out to every game you can, be engaged and be passionate, because you really are making a difference for those players.
Chris, I know earlier you obviously had comments about Coach Bob Nielsen, who gave you an opportunity at the University of South Dakota. And if you look back to a year ago, there was a lot of uneasiness about the football program and the state of where it's at. And the team had been blown out at home in its final game. They finished the year with 3 wins. And now look at it this year, a 3 seed in the playoffs, never been to the FCS quarterfinals, 10 wins for the first time since 1986. What has it meant to you to be able to see Coach Nielsen put it together, staff-wise, player-wise, and really have this group figure things out this year and this big turnaround?
I mean, it makes me so happy, you know, just at a base level. But for Coach Nielsen, that's just a testament to his leadership and getting guys to buy in and trust the process. You're not going to be able to be, you know, you're not going to go overnight to a national championship contender. It takes time, but that's something he's done every single place that he's gone, you know, from Division II all the way up to here. He's taken every single program and made a winning program. And I think that's just a testament to the people that he brings, you know, high character people. He's a very high character person himself, and just his leadership, the way that he gets guys to buy in. He's a very level-headed person. He's not going to ride the roller coaster, which to me is extremely important from a head coach. And he just brings in the right people. And it's just really, really amazing to see him having the success, getting that program in the right direction, and be the Missouri Valley Coach of the Year. He's more than deserving of that.
No question. Well, hopefully they keep playing a few more games here the rest of the season.
Yes,
Chris,
sir.
Great stuff. Really appreciate your time as always, man, and continued success. Hope it all goes well. I hope you get that opportunity, but also keep growing that growing ground up. Really excited to see where that takes you. So thanks much, man. Always appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, John. And for all my South Dakota people out there, keep your eyes peeled. We might be bringing ground up to South Dakota for a camp this spring. So keep your eyes open if you're looking for some quarterback and receiver training. But, John, thank you, man. It's always great talking with you. And let's go Yotes, man.
That's Chris Strebler, of course, one of the great Coyotes of all time, who came here, spent a couple of seasons here, and what a special special run it was to have him and him take us to the first playoff appearance, and the opportunities that group had and that team and what they were able to accomplish, of course, getting a round one win, falling in round two, but they certainly made it interesting, as Chris talked about, and special time. There's no question about that. So big thanks to him for joining the conversation today. Always great to catch up with Chris, and you heard him. Keep an eye out for his camp coming to the state of South Dakota. South Dakota this week will take on North Dakota State. The Mighty Bison, who have had a great deal of success in the FCS playoffs, and they got to this round on a thrilling, thrilling victory.
Huge extra point. Montana State must make the extra point to tie. Casey Houtsman, the kicker. Here's the snap, the placement. Kick is blocked! It's blocked! Bison win! Bison win! Bison win in overtime! And DSU wins it 35-34. They blocked the extra point.
That's the voice of Sam Niederman, who had the action on the Bison Radio Network as the Bison block an extra point to send them on to the next round. Describe that that game and that moment.
Well, first, John, thanks for having me again. It's great to be back with you. I'm excited that we get to have this rematch here in the playoffs with the Bison, the Coyotes. But, yeah, awesome. Awesome game. I mean, an all-time classic in North Dakota State football history. I mean, that's depending on where this run goes for NDSU, it could be, you know, a top 10, maybe even top 5 type of moment. I mean, how many games have you seen at any level of football that have ended with a blocked extra point? I mean, we were just saying it before we started here. I think the only one that I can remember is when Florida State blocked LSU's extra point at the end of regulation to win and a season opener in 2022. So really crazy ending. Nobody had that on their bingo card. A reserve offensive lineman, Hunter Pontius, coming in. The first time he's played on the field goal block unit all year long, 6'7". The reach of a giant, as Matt Entz, NDSU's head coach, described him. And he had the picture to prove it, right? I'm sure everybody saw it on social media afterwards, his left forearm. He got that thing pretty good. I mean, it wasn't off the fingertips or anything like that. It was off the meat of his forearm, and he had the laces and the little battle scar to take home with him. So the joke around Fargo has been he's got to get that tattooed on his arm. I think he's relishing in the moment, and it couldn't have happened to a better person. He's such a humble young man and all smiles and just, you know, has put in the work behind the scenes. So it was really cool to see him as an individual step up and have a signature play like that. And then just in the game as a whole, I mean, it was an awesome atmosphere. The Montana State crowd deserves a lot of credit because they really brought it. It was one of the best atmospheres I've ever called a game in. And I think a lot of the other NDSU players and staff said it after the game, that was one of the best that they've ever played in and been a part of. Because you have to remember, like, North Dakota State seldom goes on the road in the FCS playoffs. You know, they had, been on the road only just 3 times before that in this little run that began in 2010. So they were out of the house. They were in enemy territory in front of a really good environment, and they found a way to gut it out despite trailing late in the third quarter with little to no momentum, and just found a way to pull through and put together a good fourth quarter on defense and get some stops. And then offense had a big drive to tie up the game. Defense had a big stop at the end of regulation to get to overtime. And then everybody else knows what happened after that.
You look at that game, and I thought what was interesting is North Dakota State had little to no passing game in that. 5 of 13 was Cam Miller. Cole Payton was 1 for 1. But Tamarick Williams, the best game by far of the season and probably of his career. He bursts out for a couple of touchdowns, 162 yards. I know he had that long 75-yarder as well. But Tamarick Williams obviously found something here in this game.
Huge. It was a career day for Tamarick. He picked the best time to do it. And, you know, you're talking about a guy who's a 6-year senior who's been with the NDSU program for 3 years after transferring in from SMU. This is his last ride. And for him to have a moment like that on that stage, it was pretty awesome. I mean, I think a lot of NDSU fans have been waiting for Tamarick to kind of have that breakout game. He had had a couple here and there early in the year, but hadn't had a 100-yard game. And NDSU, in fact, hadn't had a 100-yard rusher by a running back since the semifinals of last year's playoffs. So it had been a minute since that traditional running back game had prevailed for North Dakota State, and it did on Saturday. I mean, he busted 2 big runs on essentially the same play that the NDSU coaching staff saw something with Montana State's defense where they felt like they could get under center, get in the I formation, do a little pin-and-pull scheme, and just toss it to Tamarick, and he found the holes to go all the way to the end zone. So 75-yarder, 44-yarder, really just ran like a machine all day long. It was the hardest we've seen him run, brought a level of intensity that brought life to the NDSU offense. Because, yeah, you're right, John. I mean, we weren't able to pass much North Dakota State. It was a tough day through the air. Cam didn't quite have his best stuff, you know, was a little off target a couple of times, was under pressure from a really good Montana State D-line that was number two in the country in sacks. So it wasn't there, outdoors, the elements, whatever you want to put a label on it. And they needed somebody to step up, and that was Tamarick Williams in the run game. And, you know, who would have thought that NDSU would have outrushed Montana State, which Montana State was the number two rushing team in all of FCS, averaging nearly 300 yards rushing a game. Montana State still got their fair share. You know, Tommy Malott, their quarterback, had a really big game before getting hurt late in the game. But you look at NDSU, they rushed for 296 to Montana State's 273, and that ended up being a big difference maker in the game.
North Dakota State, probably one of the teams that they'd hope they'd get a rematch with is South Dakota. They will do that this week. There's probably a few of them that they had circled, but they will get this one this week. And obviously the Bison know what's next. It's a program that has been to the quarterfinals a lot. They've been to the semifinals a ton. They've won, obviously, national championships. It's a program that continues to do its thing. They continue to find ways to win. South Dakota beat North Dakota State 24-19 back in September. What's different about this Bison team now versus the end of September?
Yeah, that's a great question, John, because I think both teams will answer that question on Saturday, right? I think South Dakota's even more different too, in a way, right? I mean, the Coyotes got momentum after that win and put together a season for the books right now that's still ongoing. I mean, best school season in history with a coach of the year in the conference and a defensive player of the year in the conference, and so many memorable moments where you guys were able to pull out tough wins. And, you know, for NDSU, after that game, I think there was some soul-searching in the middle portion of the season. You know, 2 weeks later, they would go to North Dakota and lose in blowout fashion. It was the worst loss NDSU had suffered in terms of margin of victory since 2005, right? It was unheard of. Just everybody had at that point kind of written off the NDSU dynasty, said that this is it, this is the end. A couple weeks later after that, they went to South Dakota State, put up a fight, but despite their best efforts, still lost by multiple scores. So, you know, you're looking at an NDSU team that lost three games in the span of, what, 5 or 6 weeks in the Valley. You know, finished two games out of first place in the Valley. But after that SDSU game, that was a big turning point for the Bison. You know, they had to play winner-go-home football, essentially, the last 2 weeks of the regular season. They had a game against Southern Illinois at home and a game at Northern Iowa, two Valley teams both on the bubble. One of the two made it into the FCS playoffs in Southern. And they won both of those games and really executed well, and they found an identity. You know, I thought that NDSU really found an identity at the end of October and started really executing it and getting comfortable with it in November, and now here in December with the postseason. They know what their skill is on offense. They know they have a really good quarterback in Cam Miller, who is number three in the Valley Offensive Player of the Year voting. He's accounted for 28 total touchdowns on the season, 29, beg your pardon, one passing, one rushing last week. You know, has thrown for north of almost 2,200 yards. Just has been terrific and has had the best season of his career. And they really like their receivers, and they weren't able to get them going against Montana State. But this is an NDSU team that, as you referenced earlier, John, they can pass a little bit, right? The passing game has been a strength. They've really improved it from last season to when it ranked 118th in the entire country. I think this weekend back in a dome in an indoor setting, there might be some opportunities for the Bison to get back to some of the passing prolificness that we've seen here in the last couple of weeks. And then defensively, the defense is much improved. You know, their energy level, their motor, especially from the second level with some linebackers, has really improved. Defensive line has really done a nice job in the back half of the season generating a better pass rush. They've improved up front. That front seven just really, I mean, they did give up a bunch of yards, obviously, to Montana State, but when they really needed them, in the middle of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter, they found a way to make plays. And that was huge for the Bison. And so I would say those are the two biggest things that have changed for NDSU. They found a little bit of an identity. On offense, it's, you know, let your quarterback work, feed your skill guys on the perimeter. I think they're feeling good about their power run game and what they have now with Tamarick Williams after Montana State. And then defensively, it's, you know, create the timely turnover. You know, this is a team that leads the country in interceptions and has created 24 takeaways this season. So they found a little bit of an identity on a bend don't break defense. And that's what's going to be interesting to see if it carries over into Saturday, because I don't think that was there the first time these two teams met.
Sam, I know you haven't obviously been there for the big runs that North Dakota State has had, but you're obviously very familiar with things, having been around that program. And you look back, you mentioned this in the playoffs. North Dakota State, they don't play in round one. They don't go on the road. It's everything goes through Fargo. That's what we're used to for years, right? In the FCS. This year a little bit different. They had to play in the first round. They're obviously having to win on the road to try to make it back to Frisco. How does the coaching staff just change that mindset of a program that is used to playing at home? And obviously they know now, based on what teams are left, there's no opportunity at another home game for North Dakota State. So what has been the mindset for them to be in this role where they're just not – they're not used to being in that situation?
Yeah, no, I think Bison fans are a little not used to it either, right? I mean, we're accustomed to having 3-4 playoff games at the Fargo Dome every November and December, and we only got one this year. So that's the hard way, right? I mean, they're embracing it as far as the coaching staff and the players in the program are. I think they've really applied a good mindset to it. They were so locked in at Montana State. It was the most locked in I've seen them on a road trip this season. I mean, the plane ride was as quiet as can be, and I hadn't been on a plane ride yet this year where there was that little noise. I mean, the guys really made a conscious effort to make it a business trip and take that mentality on the road. And I think one of the big things that NDSU's really featured here as a rallying cry is, why not us, right? Why not us? That's been a big rallying cry for the team really ever since the postseason began. You know, they feel like they've been counted out a little bit. There's a little bit of a chip on their shoulder from A, what happened last year in Frisco against South Dakota State, and B, what happened, in the regular season. They'll have an opportunity to potentially get revenge against the South Dakota team that beat them soundly in the regular season in Fargo. So they're embracing it, and I think it's they've done the right things to make the road opportunity and the, you know, quote unquote underdog opportunity kind of play to their advantage.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to the opportunity on Saturday. Should be a fun one. Sam, have yourself a great week, man. Really appreciate the time, and we'll look forward to Saturday. I'm excited for it.
John, rock on, man. I appreciate you having me. I cannot wait. I think it's going to be a great game, and looking forward to seeing how these two sides clash it out on Saturday. Thanks for having me.
That's Sam Niederman. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the North Dakota State Bison, kind enough to give us some of his time, and obviously he's enjoying another special season at North Dakota State. The Bison continue to have a great deal of success in the football program, and that's been, big for them. They've obviously done it for a number of years. Everybody has tried to play catch-up to what North Dakota State has done, and certainly South Dakota State has put itself, planted its flag on the map, and South Dakota feels good about what it's doing. The Coyotes are very confident about what they can do. Before we wrap things up today, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. Coming up on Saturday, of course, you got the football game, South Dakota and North Dakota State playing inside the Dakota Dome. So check it out if you can. It's available on ABC. It's also available on the Coyote Sports Network. 1:30 kickoff inside the Dakota Dome. Coyote men's basketball team moved to 6 p.m. because of the football game. So head on over to the Sanford Coyote Sports Center following the football game. See if the Coyote basketball team can get a win over CSU Bakersfield coming up on Saturday night. The Coyote women's basketball team is in action on Sunday. They will play Dickinson State. That is a 1 o'clock start time in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. And then the Coyote women's basketball team is back home on Wednesday to host Mount Marty University, a 7 o'clock start time. You can hear both of those games on the Coyote Sports Network with Jerry Pelleschi on the call of the action. That is what is going on in Coyote Athletics. To keep up with all things Coyote Athletics, including news, schedule information, ticket information, and all of that good stuff, go to goyotes.com. That's it for me this week. Have a great rest of your week. And until next time, stay safe and go Yokes.
Thanks for listening to YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.